Order the House Committee on Business and Labor. Welcome, so early in the morning. Okay, I'd like to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1518. Jan, if you could summarize for us.
Madam Chair, committee members, this measure modifies the definition of a supervisory employee for the purposes of the public employee collective bargaining law. It specifies that firefighters who assign, transfer, or direct work of other employees but do not have authority to hire, discharge, or impose economic discipline on those employees are not supervisory employees. Declares an emergency. There's no amendment. This passed the Senate on a vote of 18 to 12. There's no revenue impact, and a fiscal statement has been issued.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much. Okay, we have one person signed up, Bob Livingston, Oregon State Firefighter Council.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Bob Livingston, representing the Oregon State Firefighters Council. This is not a new bill. This is a bill that has been in front of this committee before and several others over the past 17 years, but who's counting? I would like to just highlight a few things about this bill. The first, I think, I would like to draw your attention to page 4 of the bill, and just for the record, put on that while there's bold language as it relates to nurses, in checking with legislative counsel, and there's also an LC opinion on that, that does not change the language in the statutes as it relates to the nurses. If you look above that, that's simply a retabulation to make things constructive within the language. I've spoken to the hospital administration about that. They're comfortable with the bill. There was a little bit of confusion about that over in the Senate side. It was resolved when the legislative opinion came out, just basically saying this is a construct issue. It does not change the statutes as it relates for the nurses. A few other points that I'd like to make about this bill is we believe that there's many protections in it for employers. Again, employers can set the definition of what type of work that an employee needs to do. You can turn your attention to 243650 sub 6, a definition of a confidential employee means one who assists, acts in a confidential capacity to a person who formulates, determines, and effectuates management policies in the area of collective bargaining. In the Senate, we had an example of a chief that was a battalion chief for a small jurisdiction, and he simply said that they not only did they not want to be in the bargaining unit, but he was a financial officer. He also managed collective bargaining for management. By the fact that he meets the definition under 243650 sub 6, not only would he be ineligible under this bill, the other thing that they have protection for is, again, while this would, the ERB would look at this from a unit clarification standpoint, there's also provisions in Division 25 of the Employment Relations Rules that, again, it would be something that a majority of the members in the affected classification would want to have to join the unit, become part of the bargaining unit. That does not change under law. And under
to sign cards. That kind of
correct.
Thing.
Sign cards and have, in this case, because it's new, have a secret ballot. And so a majority of those individuals in the affected classification would still need to be able to want to join the union and be part of the bargaining unit. So we think we've done a good job crafting a bill that is not only provides particularly smaller employers with protections under the law and under the administrative rules administered by ERB, but really we believe this is a bill, an issue of fairness. Fortunately, right now, you know, we have, as an example, at Intel, they're doing lots of construction. There's, you know, thousands of union workers. If you're a really highly qualified electrician or plumber working on complex issues up there, all of those people have a contract. You can be somebody that could be the lead electrician and all that. And when I checked with John Mullis and others from the building trades, all of those people have a contract. In essence, what this bill does is this would simply allow a few more people within the fire service to be afforded a contract if they do so and desire to be in the bargaining unit. I also believe that this bill is a good policy for the fire service. As a 20-plus year veteran of the fire service, one of the things that I've seen happen continues is that more and more we have seen those lead worker or those mid-level management positions have a hard time filling those, quite frankly. And the reason for that is that you get to a certain level in the fire service and you're no longer eligible to have a labor contract. And certainly in these tough economic times, as budgets get squeezed and all that, you don't have that sense of security of what it is. And I think there has been a deleterious effect on this. This is not going to change the way things are done as far as business, but it is going to afford, and I think it'll be a good change for the fire service, because now you'll have those people that'll be able to, you know, continue to move up through the ranks, but have the protection of what the rules of engagement are as it comes to wages, hours, and working conditions. With that, Madam Chair, I appreciate you hearing this bill. I would certainly urge the committee to pass this bill to the floor. Be happy to take any questions.
Okay, fine. Any questions of Mr. Livingston? Representative Freeman, then Representative Barton.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for presenting today. For the record, could you let the committee know where you grew up?
Madam Chair, Representative Freeman, I grew up in what we refer to as the center of the universe, Glide, Oregon, where two rivers meet head-on, known as colliding rivers.
Which is in Douglas County.
Yes, it is. And I do believe you went to Riddle High School. Was that what it was? Riddle High School?
Madam Chair, that would be Glide High School, home of the Glide Wildcats.
Okay, thank you very much for that clarification.
Wild.
Thank you.
You're wild in Douglas County. Okay, Representative Barton and Representative Thatcher.
Yeah, comment, then a question. In my 4 years here, this is the fourth time dealing with this issue. Apparently, it's been up 17 years. I didn't know that. But I've never seen it so focused, so narrow as the one before us today. And I think I really appreciate your working on this as hard and as long as you have. I am pretty sure that all of us on this committee, regardless of how we come down, is going to be pleased to put this issue behind us for a long time. My question, though, is do you think that Representative Matthews is going to change his vote now that he's chief?
Madam Chair, Mr. Vice Chair, I don't believe he will, but I will not speak for the Honorable Representative Matthews.
Thank you. Representative Thatcher.
Oh, gosh.
I was wondering if you could speak to the -1 amendments.
It's coming back.
Madam Chair, Representative Thatcher, I've not seen the -1 amendments. I don't know anything about a -1 amendments.
Ooh. It looks like it limits, looks like the big part, it limits this policy, I guess, to those with a population of less, or you know, jurisdictions with a population less than 300 or 30,000, or a fire district located in a county with a population less than 100,000. But I'm sure there's other changes in there that I haven't seen. But if you haven't seen it, then it just looks like it focuses it more narrowly. So.
Madam Chair, Representative Thatcher, while I haven't seen those amendments, one of the things that I've noted in my testimony is I truly believe a couple of issues. You know, I know there's concern out there for small employers, particularly in the fire service. First point I would make is a far and wide vast majority of very small employers are either all exclusive volunteer with maybe a paid fire chief who, by the way, has a contract. And so those people wouldn't even be applicable to this bill by the fact that this is specific to PECPA, which deals with career paid employees. So that would be point number one. Point number two is in many of those jurisdictions, you would have people that would basically drive around in a fire engine, maybe a rescue type ambulance. Maybe they might cross over onto a ladder truck, but they are already in the bargaining unit, and then there's no levels in between, and you would have a fire chief. The fire chief in that instance would be a confidential employee, because somebody needs to talk to, if it's a fire district, somebody needs to advise the fire district and the people that ultimately ratify a contract. That would be that exemption under confidential employee in 243650 sub 6. And furthermore, if they had even one person that was maybe an assistant chief, again, the fire chief could delegate responsibility on those issues of hiring, firing, adjusting adjusting grievances and economic discipline, and so they have the ability to do there. So my contention would be is not only are they not really impacted by this, there's many safeguards in the bill as written in the original bill that would not be necessary.
And just as clarification, the dash ones were not adopted by the Senate.
Correct.
Representative Matthews.
Thanks, Madam Chair. So, Representative Barton, I appreciate your...
Chief Matthews.
Appreciate your question.
Nicely done, Madam Chair.
And so I won't engage in the verbal sparring that can take place. This is a pretty serious issue. And it's one that we've been dealing with what I think some of us could probably call a lifetime, 17 years. But
nice.
Yeah, let's not spar. That's good.
But I do want to mention that, you know, being my third term, this is an issue that has been brought forward many times, and oftentimes I've been talking to the group from down below, and I just want to put just a couple quick things out on the record, and that is that I've read testimony that's been submitted in past years and what was submitted to the Senate, and this concept that's out there about the sky is falling is just simply not true. The sky has not fallen in the past. It will not fall now. And this is not going to be that big of an impact. It's just interesting to me that that's the approach that people have taken, that, oh, my goodness, everybody, including the chief himself. Well, I can tell you, in the past, I was a union president. Today, I sit here as the interim fire chief for Gresham. I have the ability to negotiate my contract to accept that position. That was an ability that I was given. I also want to mention City of Gresham, and I appreciate it. They're neutral on the bill, which is wonderful. And they're neutral because it doesn't impact us. I have told you about our structure in the past. I am the interim chief. I have the ability to independently hire and fire. I have done both in the last 4 months. It's no fun. But I also have division chiefs that can do that same thing. Now, I have a level of battalion chiefs that perhaps this bill might help. But because of the way that they've acted over the past years, and that is affecting economic discipline on their own, which means somebody's been disciplined, they get a step reduction, the battalion chiefs have been making the decision on when that's reinstated. That just shouldn't happen. They should be directing and advising or recommending, but they shouldn't be making that determination. I want to be clear. I don't have any problem with my battalion chiefs if they join in the end of the bargaining unit. I don't. I take exception when I see other units that have chief officer association unions that are able to negotiate their salaries. That's odd to me. And then they're speaking against this opportunity. I just don't see it being a huge deal. The other thing is internal promotions are a dynamic that I think are great for an organization. You want your people to move up and lead that group. Some of your best leaders are afraid to move and take that leap of faith because there's not the security that Bob has talked about, because there's this vacant hole that says, gosh, I don't really know if that's going to occur. Plus, I'm not contracted to receive a pay increase with the cost of living and those things. And that can be difficult, too. So I really think that the sooner that this gets rectified, which I appreciate you acting so quickly, Madam Chair, then the sooner we will have some known quantities that will stop us from hiring. And no offense to anybody out there from out-of-state jurisdictions, but PERS doesn't allow us to hire the folks that have retired that have a lot still in the tank to offer. And then we come back in, and then we hire from out of state. There's no historical perspective. There's no respect for the organization. It's just a matter of we're going to lead and we're going to make people follow. And that's not necessarily good. So I just want to say the legislative intent is well stated on the record. The sky is not going to fall. Everybody from the city manager, you know, below the city manager, doesn't have to join the union. Nobody has to join the union with this bill. And that's not what this does. This is a very simple ask. I appreciate what we've had to get this done for firefighters. And I would be remiss, Madam Chair, if I didn't just say from this seat what an honor it is to serve in this body as a firefighter, and the respect I have for that man right there, Bob Livingston, Kelly Bach behind him, Jeff Hamilton, and the others that you see in this room. They are leading their firefighters, doing what they know to be best, and they're serving our community with a great deal of honor. I appreciate all that you do, and Bob and Kelly and Jeff, the leadership of the State Firefighter Council, I only wish that the average firefighter knew how much effort you put into their safety. Thanks for the work you do, and thank you, Madam Chair, for indulging.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Okay. Anybody else? We only have Bob is the only one that signed up on the sheet. Anybody else want to speak on this issue? Mr. Winkles? Welcome.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Scott Winkles representing the League of Oregon Cities, and because I testified on the House side, I thought I should weigh in and let you know the League has had a difficult internal conversations right now, and we have reached a point where we are comfortable with being neutral on this legislation.
Okay, great. Thank
I can
mix
depend I, if you like.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any questions of Mr. Winkles?
Thanks for getting there.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, anybody else? Seeing none, I close the work session, public hearing on House Bill, Senate Bill 1518, and open up a work session on Senate Bill 1518.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 1518 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Barton moves Senate Bill 1518 to the House with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Okay, just one thing I'd like to say. I've seen the in a very short period of time, the genesis of this bill, and looking at it from a collective bargaining standpoint, it's a much, it's a good bill because it goes through and still gives battalion chiefs and others duties that are kind of management, but then it also takes out the very important ones that truly are management. And so I think the good part on the part of the work group or whoever worked on this to get the language to where it is.
Madam Chair,
yes.
I just want to say I appreciate the effort to try to get to a more of a consensus sort of deal between the two parties, which I see as the people that serve us in the fire districts and also the cities. But I need to talk to my cities too, so I will be a courtesy no, just for the moment. But I might be able to get to a yes. I a lot closer to a yes than I've ever been.
Great. Thank you very much for stating that. Okay, any other discussion? Okay, hearing none. Nick, could you read the roll, please?
Representative Fagan?
Yes.
Representative Freeman?
Yes.
Representative Holby?
Aye.
Representative Matthews?
I will vote, but not... Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
No.
Representative Thompson?
Aye.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Excuse
me. Oh my God.
Vice Chair Barton?
Aye.
Vice Chair Kimmer?
Aye.
Chair Doherty?
Aye. Okay, motion passes. Is there somebody?
Matthews.
Do you know enough about this bill to carry it?
On the floor or not?
I would be proud to carry the bill, Madam Chair. You too, though, have been monumental. I could co-carry it with you if you would like, but whatever you would like.
Okay, co-carriers, Matthews and Doherty. Okay, with that, I close the public hearing, the work session on Senate Bill 1518, and open up a work session.
Public hearing,
thank you. Well, move this along here. On public hearing on Senate Bill 1567A. Jan, if you could read the summary.
This measure modifies the reinstatement rights of state management service employees who have an immediate, prior, former, regular status in the classified service. No amendment before you, no revenue impact. There's a minimal fiscal statement. There came out on a Senate vote of 30-0.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we have two people signed up to speak, Gary Pack and Marilyn Zeike, or Zeike. I'm sure you will correct me.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Barry Pack with the Department of Administrative Services, Office of the Chief Operating Officer, and with me is Madeline Zeike, the state's new Chief Human Resource Officer, to answer any HR questions that are well beyond my pay grade. We bring you Senate Bill 1567 today, which is a fairly straightforward bill dealing with restoration rights for management service employees who had prior immediate classified services, Jan mentioned to you. I want to give you just a little bit of a context for the bill and then speak specifically to what's in it. The legislature and the governor are leading the state into a series of real transformation in the way we deliver services to Oregonians, from CCOs in the healthcare and hubs in the education environment. We're really sort of fundamentally changing how we deliver services. And our frontline employees are really critical in delivering those services, but our managers are equally critical in helping to deliver on those transformation efforts and to lead the state into a new direction. And so we really feel we need to be spending some time looking and examining our relationship to our managers, which we have not done, frankly, in a couple of decades. So
The Enterprise Leadership Team, which you may have heard, is about 20 agency directors and deputies of statewide electeds who serve as a management advisor team to Michael Jordan, the state's chief operating officer, and help make decisions on how we manage the operations of government, have chartered a fairly extensive project to look at our relationship with our managers. So how we recruit and retain and train our managers, how we our system of classification and compensation for managers, which we have not looked at comprehensively in over 20 years, and then how we work with our managers to hold them accountable for outcomes as we move forward in this direction. Most of that work will happen over the next few years, and most of that is just purely within the executive branch authority of how we operate and manage. There are a few pieces, budgetary and statutory, that obviously need the legislature's sign-off, and this is a piece of it, dealing with restoration rights. We, at the bargaining table last year for the 13-15 collective bargaining agreement with SEIU, both labor and management recognized this was a significant issue. Current law allows any management service employee who promoted up from classified service to have a right to return to their prior position at any point in the future. So it could be 20 years after a person had moved from classified service into management service. That didn't work out any longer. They would have a right to return to classified service. That position may not be around any longer. The qualifications or the skill requirements for that position may have changed significantly. All sorts of issues arise out of that, including then sort of the domino effect of bumping rights ensue at that point. So at the bargaining table, we reached an agreement with SEIU that we would phase out that right of return so that for employees who are in or promoted to management service from classified service up until the end of this calendar year would then have 3 more years to have a right of return. Newly promoted management service employees after January 1 of 2015 would not have a restoration right. Now, this does not include employees who are in trial service, so the first year of your service as management service employees, you would have a right to return back to your prior position if the management service didn't work out. So it's a pretty straightforward bill. The bill changes the statutes to codify and reach an agreement to what was agreed to at the bargaining table with SEIU. It will help us better manage our workforce. It's become a particular issue as agencies implement House Bill 4131, which was the staffing ratio, supervisory to non-supervisory employee ratio. We're having to make some changes to management service employees, and this restoration right has raised some issues in making that that statute work. So that's the basics. I'm happy to answer the easy questions and defer the hard ones to my colleague, and we urge your support. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Fine, thank you. Are there any questions? Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for that explanation. It seems to me like the bill we just passed a minute ago was to help encourage people to move up into management and really make them feel comfortable doing that. This bill seems a little bit like the opposite of that, in that if you're in management for a little while and things don't work out, maybe I misunderstood the explanation, but now you can't go back?
Madam Chair, Representative Freeman, you understood correctly that we will be phasing out that guaranteed right of return. So you would no longer be guaranteed to return to your prior position. It doesn't mean you couldn't then apply for another position if the management service employment did not work out.
Okay. So I did understand that right. I mean, I love the idea of encouraging the best employees to move up into management and to hire from within. I hope this isn't a chilling effect on that.
Madam Chair, Representative Freeman, thank you. I appreciate that concern, and I don't think it will be. I think that, as I mentioned earlier at the start of the bill, we are looking more broadly at our relationship with managers, and it's true that we need to find good incentives for very highly skilled, qualified employees to promote up into management service. We also, though, as managers, need a tool to manage the workforce, and this is a piece of it. So it's an important balancing point, I think, between the workforce development that we can provide our managers and the accountability mechanisms that we need to manage well.
Further questions?
That's good. Thank you.
Any further questions? Representative Matthews.
So I'm curious, in the firefighters contract, we have actually language that provides some security, similar to what Representative Freeman is mentioning, but it kind of only deals with if the job was eliminated or perhaps it's within the first year. It's kind of a probation period. So if the job doesn't work out to what your expectations were, you would be allowed to go to your previously held position. Is there something like that in this case?
Yeah, Madam Chair, Representative Matthews, all employees have a one-year trial service period, and that trial service period is exempted from this change in taking away the restoration rights. So if you promote into management service and it's just not a good fit, not everyone are meant to be managers, that employee would have the right to return to their prior position.
Thank you.
Okay, fine, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, hearing none. Anything you would like to say, ma'am?
Well, good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Madeline Zeich. Mm-hmm. You were really very correct in pronouncing it. I've been here with the state of Oregon for a month. I'm in my first month here before you as the chief operations officer, as the chief human resources officer at the Department of Administrative Services. And I'm really thrilled to be here, and I'll really enjoy working with you.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Welcome. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Anybody else? These were the only two signed up to speak. Anyone else would like to speak on this issue? Okay. Seeing none, I close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1567A and open up a work session on Senate Bill 1567A.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 1567A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Barton moves Senate Bill 1567A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Okay, seeing none. Nick, would you like to call the roll?
Representative
Bagan?
Excuse? Is she excused?
I don't know.
I'll check
Could
the just a second.
I'll be in recess just for a minute or two. Okay, we're out of recess. Nick, could you call the roll, please?
Representative Fagan.
Representative Fagan.
Aye.
Representative Freeman.
Aye.
She's in the recess.
No.
Aye.
Representative Matthews.
Aye.
Representative Thatcher.
Aye.
Representative Thompson?
Aye.
Representative Wick?
Aye.
Representative
Weiser?
Excused?
Vice Chair Barton?
Aye.
Representative Vice Chair
Kenmer?
Aye.
Chair
Gordy? Aye. Okay, motion passes. Is there somebody who would like to carry this to the floor? Okay, Representative Kenmer, carry the bill. With that, we close the work session on Senate Bill 1567. And on Friday, we've got four bills. Those are the only ones that we know of coming up from the Senate so far. So that might be the end of our passing things through.
So with that, are we going to move all on Friday?
I don't know if we'll be moving all on Friday. They will all be heard on Friday.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Four.
There are four on Friday, so we will meet at 8 o'clock. With that, I adjourn the meeting.
We're not going to meet at 4.
Adjourn the meeting.
We're not going to meet at 4.